Thank you. May be seated. You know, one thing over these last couple weeks that we definitely heard a lot of was Christmas carols, different Christmas songs over the radio. You know, one of those songs which you hear each Christmas was made popular by Elvis Presley. And he sang some words that probably many, unfortunately, can identify with. The song I'm referring to is Blue Christmas. The words go like this: I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I'll have a blue, 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 get the message, Christmas. And I did want to spare you singing it, so that's why I read it for you. But you know, for many, unfortunately, holidays are not a joyful time. But they're filled with sorrow because of tragedies or hardships that they have faced in the past. For some, it may be the recent past, and for others, it might be pain that they have been carrying for years. I've also heard it said that more than one time that church is such an unrealistic place to be because all they do is praise God and sing songs, ignoring what is really happening all around them. You know, unfortunately for some, the holiday season's emphasis on happiness and good cheer often makes people who are dealing with heartbreak feel even worse. So if one is in such a state of despair, what are they to do? You know, I'm reminded of a little boy who was in a Christmas program. And he had but one line to say. And that line was, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." After the rehearsal, he asked his mother what tidings meant. And she told him that it meant news. When the program was put on, he was struck with strange fright. And he forgot his line. Finally, the idea came back to him, however, and he cried out, "Hey, I got news for you." And you know, this morning I too would like to say, "Hey, I've got news for you." You see, no matter what problems we are facing, no matter what difficulties we are going through at this time, the good news of the gospel is that God loves you. And he is here with you, not only here this morning, but with us each and every day. John 3:16 says it so very plainly, so very simply, so very clearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, as the old advertising slogan goes, God cared enough to send the very best. And that is what makes the difference as we go through times of struggle. And that's why even when we are going through hard and difficult times, it is important to take that time to give praise to God, to reflect on who he is, to concentrate on what he has done for us rather than the circumstances that we are going through. So what does this all mean to us? And how is it going to help us? Well, first of all, we need to realize that God knows our pain. And again, if you'd like, there is an outline on the back of your bulletin that you can follow with me. But you know, each part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each knows our pain. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like for God the Father when he sent his Son, Jesus, to this earth with a purpose in mind of dying on a cross, knowing that he was going to face affliction and mockery and persecution. You know, I remember different times in our life when we had to send our children off to school and how difficult that was. But even though they were going to school and it was for a good purpose, it still was hard because they were leaving you. They were going to be separated from you for a short time. But think about God the Father. Unlike us sending our children off to school because they know they're going to be getting an education and they're going to be able to better themselves, one of the things is with God, he knew that he was sending his son into turmoil and tragedy. So God the Father understands our pain because he too had to send his son into that type of a situation. God the Father also every day experiences the rejection of his creation. How hard it is for a parent when a child is disrespectful, or a child, and it happens over and over and over again, when a child gets upset, they might even look at a parent and say, well, I don't like you, or they might say, I don't even love you, because they're looking to try to hurt and to fight back. How many times has God the Father heard those words from those that he created? And he created us to have a people to love, a people to care for. All he has done is given to us. He has never asked anything of us. He has given to us. And how unfair it is when people just basically spit in his face. When those who he loved and he gave his son for turn and they say, well, there is no God. Or those who acknowledge, well, yeah, there is a God, but we don't need him. We can do it ourselves. How that much must tear at his heart. So he knows what it's like to be rejected. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here in Isaiah verses 53, or chapter 53, in verses 2 and through 5, it said, talking about Jesus, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised. And he was rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected, doesn't he? Jesus knows what it's like to be persecuted. How many of us have ever been flogged to within inches of death? How unfair for Jesus to be treated the way he was. But yet, he did go through it because he loved us. The Holy Spirit. If you want to turn with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Challenges us and says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So what is that saying? It's saying that it is possible for the Holy Spirit to be grieved. And do you believe that there have been those who have grieved the Holy Spirit? Yes. Through the years, many have grieved the Holy Spirit. Here the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit is grieved when our words or our actions are not in conformity with the guidelines that God gives to us. How many have really, truly taken the time to think how the Holy Spirit must feel when we are disobedient to God or when we do not fully trust God in all situations? You know, an interesting thought that probably hasn't passed the minds of many is that just as we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day that we go to be with the Lord, he too is sealed within us. It works both ways. And when we do not walk in the ways of the Lord or actually live in a manner that is contrary to God's word, the Holy Spirit must stay within us through it all, or we would not be able to have the assurance that we will be going to be with the Lord when our time here on this earth is through. So the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he sticks it out with us, even though it grieves him. So you see, God does understand our hurts. He understands our pain because he too has experienced loss. He has experienced rejection. He has experienced abandonment. He has experienced grief. But he never gives up on us. Amen? We should never give up on him. Some may say, well, you know, that sounds nice, Pastor, but isn't it unrealistic? My answer to that is it's all how you choose to look at it. Many are without hope because the suffering is so great, or it has gone on for so long. The root of the problem is that they have lost hope, or they have no hope. This morning, I would like to share with you that our hope, no matter what happens, needs to be in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it must always, no matter what, remain there. In the scriptures, God speaks of the importance of hope. He places hope in a unique conjunction with love and faith in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Their hope ranks second only to love. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, faith, hope, and love, the three, but the greatest of these is love. So hope is part of the big three: faith, hope, and love. It is hope that will carry us for the long stretch. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. Kind of near the end of the New Testament there, where all the T's are together, Titus and Timothy. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is hope that allows us to endure when the going is tough. J. Adams, who is a noted Christian counselor and author, has says, while faith is the source of works and labor issues from love, endurance, especially under trial, comes only from hope. Hope. I would like to present to you this morning that hope is confident. It's interesting to note that in Scripture, hope is always a confident expectation. The word hope in God's Word never carries with it even the minutest connotation of uncertainty that our English term does. We as human beings cautiously say, I hope so. But in Scripture, when the word hope is used, it means I know so. Do you see the difference between I hope so and I know so? But how can we as Christians, especially during the times of trial, during the times of adversity, during the hard and difficult times, say, I have that kind of hope? I have that kind of assurance, especially when our world seems to be falling apart. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, if you go back just a few pages. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. it says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can we have hope in the midst of trials? It's when we realize that Christ lives within us, and he is the hope or the certainty of glory. There is no uncertainty in this truth. If a person has accepted the gift of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, then we know that one day we will be with the Lord in glory. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. And so if our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the hope of our glory, we can have that same hope, that same assurance, in no matter what circumstance or situation that we face. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says that we possess a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. You see, we have a heavenly Father, the one who has created us, the one who has given us life, who cannot lie. So if he says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for I am with you wherever you go. If he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, can we believe him? Because he can't lie. So if we have that same blessed hope, that faith, that yes, we will see God our Father one day in glory because of what Christ has done for us, that same assurance is available to us each and every day, no matter what struggle we face. Look with me, if you would, to John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. One of the greatest promises that Jesus has given to us in Scripture. Jesus says to us, do not, and here's a, it's a directive. Do not, it's a command. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That is the blessed hope. That is the promise that we have. Jesus says that when he left this earth, that he went to prepare a place for us. And when we put our faith and our trust in him, taking it off of ourselves and putting it on him, resting totally in his sacrifice, then we have what the Bible calls that blessed hope. But it's not the hope that we think about as human beings, the I hope so, maybe it'll happen. It's the blessed hope, the certainty, the assurance that we have through Scripture that God has stamped his stamp of approval. He is the one that has given us that promise. And just as we have that certainty that one day we will see Jesus in heaven, that we will see God the Father in heaven, we have that same assurance of knowing that he will be with us through all the trials that we face here upon this earth. But it's the same principle. You see, there are many who are walking through this life today. If you were to walk up to them and ask them, do you know for sure if you were to die that you would go to heaven? They would say, I hope so. And you see, that's that human response of, well, I hope so. Maybe I will. I think I have a good chance to. Why? Because they're looking still at themselves. They may know who God is. They may know about Jesus Christ. They may know that Christ died upon the cross for sin, but they have not gotten to the point in their life where they are able to fully trust and put themselves into the hands of God completely. So they say, I hope so. I hope I'll be good enough. But the scripture is so clear. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in order to have the certainty that we will go to heaven to be with God, we need to take our eyes off of ourselves. We need to stop trusting in ourselves, and we need to fully rest in the arms of God. Well, the same thing is true as we face our trials and tribulations, as we walk day by day. We have to realize that, yes, myself, I'm incapable of dealing with this particular circumstance or this particular situation. We may have to come to a point to realize that no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be able to accomplish the desired outcome that I would like to have. And the same way that we put ourselves totally into the hands of God for salvation, we have to put ourselves totally into the hands of God and say, okay, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why things are happening the way they are. They seem very unfair. They just don't seem right. It doesn't make sense to me. But you know what, God? You're the creator. You're the one who has made this world. You're the one who has given life. You're the one who sustains life and keeps everything in order and keeps everything going. Boy, and I'll tell you, I think that's got to be pretty hard when you look at this world and all the things that keep it functioning the way that it does, keeping the stars and the sun and everything the right distance, the right speeds and all that. That's a lot of work. But if God's able to handle that, he should be able to handle whatever we face each day, shouldn't he? And so the key is to say, yes, God, I don't understand it all, but I am going to just put it all into your hands, and I'm going to stop worrying, and I'm going to stop fretting about it, and I'm just going to let you be in control and trust you to see me through. Christ makes all the difference. And you know, we talked about this morning in Sunday school, that it is possible for a person to come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, but still live in this life without peace. Still live in this life with stress and concerns because they have not been willing to put themselves totally into God's care. It is Christ who makes all the difference. So we first need to, yes, come to that point where we say, God, I realize I can't do it myself for my salvation, and put our trust in what Christ did upon the cross at Calvary and his finished work. But as we face the uncertainties of this life, this new year, there are many uncertainties that lie before us. We also need to be able to say, okay, God, here is my life. I'm putting it into your hands, and I'm going to trust you to see me through, because I know you'll be able to get me from point A to point B. You'll be able to get me from my right here on earth to be in your presence for all eternity. Psalm 147, verse 3, gives us a precious promise. It says, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I believe God's word is true. You see, if this particular verse, Psalm 147, verse 3, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, if that was not true, I'd have to throw this whole Bible away. Because if one verse in this whole book is not true, then how do I know that the rest of them are as well? So I have to say, either I am going to completely, totally trust God's word, word by word, that God has given us his truth, that his word is truth, and I'm going to accept it in its entirety, or I have to throw it away. So I again have to accept that, yes, the Lord does heal the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. You know, an artist once drew a picture of a winter twilight, the trees heavily laden with snow, and a dreary, dark house, lonely and desolate in the midst of a storm. It was a sad picture, but then, with a quick stroke of a yellow crayon, he put a light in one window. The effect was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. The birth of Christ was just that light in a dark world. You see, no matter how dark our lives might be, Jesus is the light. Speer wrote these words. It says, whenever darkness grips your soul and you are tempted to despair, remember Christ's unfailing love and trust his faithful, tender care. I'd like to close with one more verse. It's a beautiful verse to be used as a benediction. It's found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it so beautifully says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, are you one of those that may have lost hope or maybe feeling desperate? Then that is my prayer for you. May the God of hope. And remember, we're not talking about the human, I hope so. We're talking about the spiritual, eternal God, I know so. May the God of hope fill you with joy. You're not going to be able to find joy yourself. You're not going to be able to find joy in the circumstances that are troubling you at this time. But as long as we keep our eyes focused upon him and our trust in him, he can bring that joy. And he can bring peace. But again, it says, as we trust him. And that's the hard part, is trusting. No matter how despairing we are, no matter how unhopeful the situation may appear, we have to continue to trust him. And then it says that we may overflow with hope. How? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But again, it says here, by the power of the Holy Spirit. True hope, peace, trust comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Not from within ourselves. We don't have it. But it comes by yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us bow together, shall we? With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to give you just a moment to reflect on what we've talked about this morning. There may be someone or more than one person this morning who's sitting here that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, that really truly do not have that blessed hope that when they pass from this life into eternity, that they will see their Maker face to face. If that is you, I'd like to encourage you this morning to receive that blessed hope, to be willing to say that I might not understand it all, but God, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I do believe that he died on the cross for my sins. Father, I am sorry for the things that I have done that have displeased you. And I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me my sin, to cleanse me. I thank you for loving me. Help me to walk in a new life that is pleasing to you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, it's not the words that would save you, but it's the attitude, the desire of your heart. Your desire, your willingness to again accept that there's nothing you can do to earn your own salvation. But your willingness to accept what Jesus did for you. If this morning you're praying to ask Jesus to be your Savior for the first time, you've never done it before, I'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm accepting Jesus this morning. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Pray for me. I'm accepting Jesus to be my Savior. then there may be some here this morning that are feeling despair. Maybe you were blue this holiday because of something you're going through recently or something that happened in the past. And this morning, God has challenged your heart, and you want to be able to say, God, I've been trying to deal with all this myself, and I've lost hope. But God, I want to put my complete trust in you this morning. I need your help. I can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. I need you to give me that hope, to give me that faith, to give me that trust. If that is your prayer this morning, I'd like to pray for you too. No one is looking around. I'm asking that all heads would be bowed and eyes closed. But if you would like prayer, saying, I need God's help to trust him more, would you just slip your hand up and saying, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, praise God. I see many hands. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to come together this morning. We thank you for your precious word that, Lord, you've given to us as a guide to help us each step of the way along this path from our time here upon this earth to eternity. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. He, who was without sin, died to pay for our sin, that, Lord, our sins would be forgiven and that we would be cleansed. And, Father, we pray for this one this morning who has raised their hand to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we rejoice. The Scripture says that the angels in heaven rejoice, for there is no greater decision that can be made. And, Father, we pray that your Spirit would just guide and direct them, that they might continue to grow in that precious relationship they have as a child of yours. And Father, we do pray that if there is anyone here this morning that has never made that decision, that your Spirit would not allow them to rest until they're willing to make that commitment to you, to give their life to you. And Father, we thank you for the many promises that you've given to us within your word. And Father, we thank you for the promise that you can bring to us peace and joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. And Father, we pray for the many who raise their hand this morning that are going through a challenge right now, a difficult time right now, that, Father, you would fill them with your strength. Lord, that you would help us to be willing to and able to just put ourselves into your hands and to trust you each day of our lives until that day that you call us home to be with you. So, Lord, we pray that you would minister your grace as only you can to those who raise their hand today. Lord, touch them. Lord, just touch them in a special way. And, Lord, we pray that you would just help them to, again, see that light at the end of the tunnel, that light which is you, that their hope is in you. You are the hope of our glory. And, Father, we just give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand.